Blog Talk Radio.
So y'all was in Iraq together?
Yeah, we was in Iraq.
What did you do?
We was looking for weapons of mass destruction.
Did you ever find them?
You know goddamn well we ain't find them. What are you, some kind of political humorist? You Gary Trudeau up in this bitch?
I was looking for bitches, but they had that carpet shit all over them, and I couldn't see what they looked like. All that was really exposed was the eyes, and that wasn't enough for me, because, you know, I'm looking at the eyes can be pretty, and I take that carpet off, and then I got a tragedy.
Well, no, we ain't fine. But I always say the absence of evidence is not the evidence of absence.
What?
Simply because you don't have evidence that something does exist does not mean that you have evidence that something doesn't exist.
What?
What country are you from?
What?
What ain't no country I ever heard of? They speak English in what?
What?
English, motherfucker! Do you speak it?
Yeah.
So you understand the words I'm saying to you?
Yeah.
Well, what I'm saying is that there are known knowns and that there are known unknowns, but there's also unknown unknowns. Things we don't know that we don't know.
What?
Say what again? Say what again? I dare you. I double dare you, motherfucker. Say what one more time?
Faster than a speeding bullet. More powerful than a locomotive. Able to leap tall buildings at a single bound. Look, up in the sky. It's a bird. It's a plane.
No, it's Max, Darrow, and D-Bert, your host for the Comic Shop Show.
Hey folks, we're back from hiatus, took a quick break. This is your host, D-Bert, a.k.a. The Afternerd. It is the Grindhouse edition of Afternerd Radio, Saturday edition, Comic Shop first, Afternerd Radio, a.k.a. Afternerd featuring Captain Kirk second at 7 p.m. We have a lot to get into, a lot to make up for, folks. You know what? I'm curious. I'll ask Darryl or the captain once I beam them down. Was that really Sam Jackson doing the voice and that little monologue or diatribe there with the Boondocks? Because he also, I'm led to assume, he also did the voice for the Blackula character in The Venture Brothers. So, actually, I'm not sure about that. You know, sometimes you have guys that are just that good at vocal impersonation. Anyway, we'll get to that in a moment. A quick nerdcore groove. And when we get back, pulp flavor discussion. Yummy. This is MC Frontalot, This Old Man. Let's groove.
And hairier on my neck, back, and derriere. Oh, but not atop the paint, dear DNA. Let's negotiate. I'll trade the fading vision. You can have that back. Plus, the 30-year-old man telly is kind of whack. My hearing is hearing deafness, and I wheeze. Yo, please save me from the wrist hurt disease. It's infeasible that these are full list of ailments. Should do anything but the crew. I'm a fail 10 times out of 10. To age in reverse like Mork. Is there anything sadder than a dork for whom the new hotness is not just inaccessible? It's grumbled against. You kids, reduce your decibels. Don't make me come over there and shake my cane. It's that rapper from the double ARB, and he is insane.
This old man.
Telegram of this telling me I ought to act my age deranged. Already I don't got no brain medicine. If we were running out of food on a boat, I'd get jettisoned or eaten. I'm unsweetened. Don't tell me that I got the shortest straw. I'm not a
Okay, we're back once again. Go see the doctor. I'm dating myself. The beat sounds a little bit like Kool Moe Dee, I'm just saying. Anyway, folks, again, the Grindhouse, the Comic Shop, Afro Radio. I could not do it effectively without my own Enterprise crew. First up, the captain. Let's get to it, Captain.
I do believe that's Samuel L. Jackson with Gin Rumney, if I am. I believe so. I believe that is him.
Well, let's open up the door and ask down.
Well, he did the first two appearances. The third appearance wasn't him because he was busy shooting Django.
Oh, that makes sense. What about the voice work for the Blackula character in the Venture Brothers?
No, Samuel Jackson has not had anything to do, to my knowledge. It may be misinformation, but I figure if he had something to do with Venture Brothers, that would have been well-known, well-publicized. So I would have to go with no on that one.
Yeah, I think I actually read or heard somewhere that he did not do the vocal. But you know what? That guy does a dead-on impersonation. Dead-on. All right, listen, gentlemen, let's get to it. Again, folks, feel free to jump on in with our discussion. The call-in number is 646-915-9620, 646-915-9620. First up, big news. Bruce Timm is no longer in the DC/WB production tier, no longer in the DC building. Bruce Timm, most notable for his animation work for the past 20 years, really, with the Batman, the animated series, and all the other incarnations thereafter. What are your thoughts about this? You know, I have my belief, but this is big news. What's going on?
I'll tell you the truth. When I first saw this pass through yesterday is when I first caught on to this, I was like, okay, so maybe DC is finally taking our advice and, you know, they're putting them in charge of trying to get their movie. When I say movie, of course, you know I'm referring to JLA. Have him be a consultant, similar to what Mark Millar is doing for the Fox Marvel family. But then, just like you just iterated, he is out of DC completely. Uh-oh. That's all I have to say. Uh-oh. There was rumors that he was really mad, even though it wasn't one of his productions. He was really mad that Young Justice and Green Lantern were being taken off behind the scenes. There was rumors to that there was leaking around the net, that he was not in favor of that, all right? Similarly, there were rumors that a topic that we are going to discuss later with the Jon Stewart thing, someone caught him at WonderCon and asked him about that, and he didn't know, and his face turned red. Again, rumor. I don't have any substantiated facts on it. That was rumors going around. But this move happening so close after those two leads one to believe that he may have just gotten tired of the politics, may have just gotten tired of the BS, maybe he needs a break. But if I'm Marvel, hey, Bruce Timm's a free agent. We already have Paul Dini as a consultant. Let's get them together to help out our anime side or help out some of our movies. Back to you, Afro Nerd.
Yeah, you know, you're saying some important things because I tell you, Daryl, I've been saying that for a long time that it would be interesting to see Dini and Timm together for Marvel because it does appear that DC really outshines Marvel in the animation department. In the animation department, it does come off that way. They're a little bit tighter in the animation department. Now, I too also heard what you heard, that he was disgruntled about what went down with Green Lantern especially.
And you could also make the case, and I think the captain will get my point here, that the Marvel movie formula, how they set up Avengers, is similar to how I should say similar. Let's call it Slade or Slade. They outright stole the method that Tim and Deeney used to set up JL and JLU. Because think about it. You start off with Batman the Animated Series. You floated into a Superman Animated Series. And both of those things were the ground zero for the Justice League. Isn't that how Avengers came about? You started with the Iron Man. You built up the Thor. You built up the Captain America. And it all floated right into the Avengers thing. I'm just saying, you know, it's too much of a coincidence not to say, hey, that method worked for DC's animated. Can we apply that to our live action? Too much of a coincidence, right, Captain?
Absolutely. Now, here's the question. Is the voice of reason starting to remove itself from DC? Just to throw it out there.
Well, you know what? Well, the argument can be made, yeah. Because, first of all, with Bruce Timm was a really close friend and colleague to the late, great Dwayne McDuffie. And he was really struck down. I saw the Twitterverse and I saw the exchanges and his kind words. You could tell these guys worked together for many years. There's a great deal of respect for their intellect and for their talent. So, and also, I'm pretty sure Bruce Timm was learning from Dwayne McDuffie as to certain cultural inferences and just how certain things should be working. So now you see how things are going down. The politics are starting to show up with DC. And I should mention this also. They're working on some kind of crowdfunding campaign to save Green Lantern and Young Justice. And I believe there's also going to be some kind of behind-the-scenes executive meeting to reconvene on the topic. So maybe, we might see some light at the end of the tunnel, because the two shows, I mean, they were just too good. I mean, highly class acts. The way they went out, the animation style, you just can't get rid of stuff that's that good. So I don't know. And at first, like Daryl said, I wasn't sure. Now, the way his actual position was supervising producer for Warner Brothers Animation. Now we're hearing that James Tucker, who is also highly esteemed and respected, he's going to take over the helm of Bruce Timm. So I'm not really concerned about his abilities, but will we see what we need to see? I don't know. Even though he's good, he's still part of the team from the 20 years back. I don't know. But it's a big – he basically put DC Animation on the map. And by connection – if you want to go even further, with what's happening on screen, on the silver screen, can be tied to his work as well. Daryl?
I'm just saying it like this, okay? Was it DC's big 52 move supposed to solidify their links, animation, comic, and movie? It's been, what, 18 months? Hasn't it seemed that they've grown more in chaos with all of these moves? And folks, Captain often says that I have a DC bias when it comes to this because I'm a Marvel dude. But just to let you know, a lot of what Marvel is doing right now, they have copied from what DC tried to do with their 52. All right? Their Marvel Now initiative, that is a direct copy of what DC's doing, except the difference is they didn't change their whole line. What they're doing is they're changing it in parts to reflect what they're doing in the theaters, to make their line more appealing to people that don't read comic books. But the problem is, and this goes back to the original point, all of these moves that DC is doing, it's alienating guys that are on their staff already. And, again, we'll get into the John Stewart thing later. And it's alienating their fans because you're announcing, like, roster changes and creative changes and plans in the multimedia without talking to your writers and stuff. And I think all of this is starting to seep into the other forms of entertainment. And like I said, without talking to Bruce Timm, all I could hear about is the rumors of what it is, and he was not pleased, to say the least. Back to you, Afro-Nerd.
All right, before we make a quick transition, we always try to give as much information as we can during our broadcast, whether it's Afro-Nerd or the Comic Shop. Now, coming from BleedingCool.com, again, folks, BleedingCool.com, they're giving a bit more insight as to what's really going on here, or at least more conjecture. But it says here, the original report simply says that Tim has some of his own projects. I'll come clean. This is what I mean by secret in the headline. It's shorthand for we don't know what they are. Not that they're buried in a secret vault guarded by dragons, drawing attention to their own sense of mystery. I would like to think that Tim has had a job offer from some quarter or another and has gone off to work on a project that we'll be hearing about soon. Fan wishery, it's a new word there, fan wishery is pouring all over social media with various friends in my Twitter feed indulging in Pixar fantasies, some others mentioning Marvel. Nobody has specifically mentioned Disney's Big Hero 6, which is set for release late next year, but that seems as good as particular match as anything else out there, I think. Does Don Hall want a co-director? Now, there's an update. Or maybe he's just taking a reduced role at Warner Brothers Animation. Widespread commentary suggests that he isn't. Comments from inside the studio says he is. That's a shame. He's a good captain. Many a ship could use his navigational skills. Good luck, Mr. Tim, and good luck, Mr. Tucker. Fingers crossed for an invisible transition and a strong future for your series. The last thing he was known for was the excellent Dark Knight Returns. So I have a difficult time believing they're going to let this guy go. But, hey, like the captain said, this is what they do. This is what they do. They mess up, then they have to come back begging on their hands and knees. Because I tell you right now, they have no choice but to try to straighten out some of the character flaws and some of the storylines in these movies. They just cannot afford another Green Lantern live action. Marvel and Disney are going to wreck shop in 2000. They're going to wreck shop this year, actually, but they're going to wreck shop in 2015. So I don't see them getting rid of a guy like this. He knows where the bodies are buried.
I am telling you, just like with Josh Whedon, when DC let him go and Marvel was right there with a truck of money, I guarantee you, is it Ari Avid? Ari Avad is talking to Marvel like, yo, Tim's a free agent. Get the truck of money ready. We're rolling to his house yesterday. We are going to be waiting for him right there, and we'll say, yo, you got carte blanche with our animated department. Except for Ultimate Spider-Man and Avengers Assemble, whatever you feel like you want to animate from our universe, go right ahead. Here's the money. Go right ahead. We'll call up Paul for you. We'll make this happen because you know he is too good of an artist, a visionary, to be out there for long. And if Marvel doesn't do it, you know, Dark Horse is there. Image has been talking about Chew and lately Manhattan Projects to be as crossing over media-wise. He is too good of a professional to be out there that long.
All right, listen, let's go to a quick groove, gentlemen. When we get back, let's talk about Jon Stewart. That controversy. Very, very upsetting, very unsettling. I don't know. But they do this. They do this. Anyway, folks, this is Beefy performing Chun-Li, keeping it nerdcore as always. Beefy doing Chun-Li. We'll be right back.
Yes, yes. Scotch tape and beef. talk about the greatest woman in the world.
She is known as the strongest female in the world. There's never enough time to prepare for this girl. Interpol investigator, baby, searching for clues. Her father's death is the reason she's in your base killing your dudes. And reveals to her the secrets all about Shadow Lou. That there's a guy named M. Vice that probably needs a talking to. So she went up and climbed up the ladder up to the leader. Surprised to learn he could fly, but more surprised when he beat her. She swore vengeance on that day, my friend, she made it a pact. And that's a lot to have to carry on such a soft and pretty back. Got in contact with the Air Force and teamed up with Charlie until a broomhead named Guile tried to ruin her party. He said, Charlie's coming back with me right now, that's an order. But she stood up to the man like Mexicans crossing the border. And like my brown people, Chunners got her ass kicked. Little did broomhead know that the Air Force got tricked. Goddamn. Connections coming out of their ass. So Chunners figured she could end all of the evil with a blast. She laced a C4 around the building at 5, while Guile and Charlie went inside to take down the psycho drive. But a problem arrived. It seems like Bison got the drop on Guile and on Charlie before they could make the drive stop. Bison would have killed Guile if Charlie hadn't come to rescue. He said, get the hell out of here, my friend, I'm here to save you. Reluctantly, Guile fled in the midst of battle, and he scooped up Chun-Li like a horse padded with a saddle. Related the events, and after debate, they decided that Charlie knew the dangers of the mission when he was invited. Explosion! And no one came running out the door, so we have to assume that sadly Charlie is no more. But that motherfucker Bison is still running the streets, so we'll have to fight him there and show him we're the elite. Yes, yes!
Beefy performing Chun-Li, giving the best of new nerdcore music. Again, folks, this is the Grindhouse edition of Raffner Radio, Saturday edition. The call-in number, don't be scared, 646-915-9620. Again, 646-915-9620. We were talking about the controversial departure of Bruce Timm. And now, Bruce Timm, that, you know, again, we all grew up fondly with the Batman animated series and all of his work. Was talked about, as Daryl can attest to, was talked about incessantly at Donna's Superhero Comics, which is, of course, in Floral Park, New York. There are folks that are still lamenting that series, that it's not back, that we still do not have that level. That's probably why there's so much anger toward Green Lantern animated series and Young Justice, because they were a glimpse of what could have been with Bruce Timm's work. Anyway, I digress. There was talk about killing off one of the premier characters of color on the DC side, the John Stewart Green Lantern character. There was a gentleman by the name of Joshua Hale Fiakoff, if I'm pronouncing his name correctly, Joshua Hale Fiakoff, and he walked away as writer from the Green Lantern Corps and Red Lantern as well, because of this alleged mandate that they were going to kill off John Stewart. This was talked about a couple of weeks ago, and then a week later, that went away somewhere. That was a rumor now. So I don't know who to believe. I don't know what to believe, but it sounds like they were trying to do something shady, Daryl. They were trying to – we do not have a bucket full of characters of color. But they seem to be comfortable in pulling this crap all the time anyway. They do this. Ryan Choi, anyone? Ryan Choi, the new Adam. They're very dismissive of characters that we don't have enough of to begin with. And John Stewart is a focal player, a preeminent player in the Green Lantern mythos, dating back to the late 60s. What are your thoughts on this, Daryl?
And mind you, I'm one of the guys who doesn't like his current direction or how Geoff Johns has written him, because he's totally taken out of the equation the fact that John Stewart was smart, he was an architect. All he played up was, he's an ex-Marine. I'm using the construct to make giant guns. like John Stewart's wondering that. Wait, I got to destroy a planet. Get John Stewart. You know, that's how he's written them as a thing. But when it comes to interactions and all that, John's to the side, like he can't write them. I called it in the latest blog. I called this. This was Dwayne McDuffie's greatest payback to DC. Because he made this character so popular through Justice League and Justice League Unlimited that there were people going to the Green Lantern movie asking, why the hell is Green Lantern white?
That's the best.
He made this character so important that when John did his Green Lantern rebirth, I had black comic book fans come up to me and go, Hal Jordan. I was like, yeah, he was the second Green Lantern. The second? So John Stewart was the first? No, that was Alan Scott. Wait, but when did John came in? John was like the fourth Human Lantern. What, there was three more in front of him? Like, yeah, Guy Gardner too. It was Alan. And these are black kids who loved them on TV, but they didn't realize that, you know, there's a whole core. You know, there was a whole, you know, they came in piecemeal. He made him so accessible. Now you take that accessible character and you try to do something with him in comics. That would make total sense. Bring in a whole new set of fans who came in through the other media, make him accessible. That would make sense to me. No. Because remember, while he was hot on TV, Kyle Rayner was the Green Lantern, the only Green Lantern. And now again, that's getting too far into the lore. Let's just say stuff happened between Hal and the Guardians. All right, so you'd figure, oh, we're making a Green Lantern animated movie. We'll see Jon Stewart in there somewhere. Okay, first flight happened. No Jon Stewart. All right, okay, no problem. No problem. We are going to do Young Justice now, following up Teen Titans. We're going to show John on the screen. Nope, not that either. This is Dwayne McDuffie's greatest payback. Why? Because John Stewart is being seen nowhere else but the books. But they talked about killing him, the rumor. And add props to Joshua Firecroft for this. If you haven't read his Eye Vampire, read it. It's a great horror thing that they put out in Vertigo, and it should be getting more support. And he's one of the guys that they cherry-picked. You're cherry-picking him with how strong his characterization is in Eye Vampire to take over Green Lantern. All right? You are cherry-picking him to take over part of your franchise. Why? Because you want to follow up what Jeff Johns is doing, and he's a hot young writer. And you're telling him, yeah, the first thing you got to do is kill Jon Stewart. Is DC nuts? Let the writer do his story. Why must you kill? Oh, we just killed Damian Wayne, and we had a 20% rise in readership across the board and sales. So, you know, we're going to kill somebody else next. Okay. Guy Gardner, he can still live. Hal, yeah, he can still live. Kyle Rayner, you know, a lot of gay and homosexual people identify with him, and that's hot right now. You know, he can still live. But Jon Stewart, never mind those black comic book fans. Kill that boy. Come on, DC. Come on. And this is the double-edged sword. With wanting to put your events and your stuff on blast multimedia-wise. When this got leaked out, I know Cap could attest to it. I know AfroNerd could attest to it. You read some of those forums? I know Warner Brothers had read some of those forums. If there's that much passion about killing him off, then why haven't you used that passion to put him across your multimedia platform? It's a joke, Afro Nerd. Back to you.
Yeah, that's the million-dollar question, isn't it? Just a correction.
I was off by a couple of years, actually. John Stewart came into being 71. I said late 60s. I know it was late 60s, early 70s, but specifically 1971 is when they created Denny O'Neill, created Green Lantern, John Stewart, 1971. This is what makes you angry, Daryl, is that, you know, they really have not fleshed out this character in 40 years to my satisfaction anyway. They, you know, because he's one of those post Civil Rights era characters where these companies knew good and well that you're going to have to, black people are here. You know, now the gay folks are where the black folks, a lot of people don't like to make that connection, but that's kind of how it works. The gay folks, the Latin folks, they are where we were 40 years ago, theoretically. So after post-Civil Rights, again, you're talking about 71, they had to have Luke Cage. They had to have Falcon. They had to have John Stewart, Green Lantern. But they did not know what to do with him. And I'll tell you something else, Daryl. There's something that they did, you can attest to this, they did go into how his mind works, that he might be one of the nastier Green Lanterns because of his mind, that he can create constructs with internal mechanisms in it. Wasn't that ever mentioned before?
Exactly,
because of how he thinks that his constructs have working parts in them.
Yeah, because if you remember, he's an architect.
And he had a chip on his shoulder also.
Yeah, well, yeah, after the whole thing with Cosmic Odyssey, one of DC's most underappreciated crossover / events, you know, he had to kill Xanchi, a whole planet. Well, his arrogance led to the destruction of the planet. But that's the problem. It typecasted him. Now, again, he is a brilliant mind, okay? He was he is an African-American hero that doesn't rely on brawn. I'll repeat that again. He didn't need to rely on his muscles to beat you in a fight. He planned things out. He used his mind. Don't you want to see more of that? No. So when Jeff Johns came in with the character, my first complaint was they pushed his brilliant analytical mind to the background and they made him, oh, he's going to shoot a gun. Oh, he's still got the weight of killing a planet on his soul. Even in War of the Green Lanterns that wrapped up right before they did the 52 change, what they had him do, they had him kill Mogo. I was like, really? Nope, John isn't making plans. You had him take out Mogo. That's nice. That's beautiful. Thank you, DC. Thank you, Jeff Johns. And now with this news, I'm like, it's more spitting in the face of the character. They can't win, dog. They can't win.
One more thing. I'm sorry. Go ahead, Captain.
Here's the thing that we're not really exploring, right? From the theatrical standpoint, just saying from the theatrical standpoint, if they would have went with this Green Lantern, in my opinion, hindsight being 2020, they would have been left with no choice to give you the Lantern movie you were supposed to get instead of that garbage that we got. Back over to you, Sir Raffle. Now, that's all.
Well, you know what? That's a good question because allegedly Common, the hip-hop artist, he was ready to go on this. So I don't know how he would have been used. I think that was that for the prospective JLA movie, but his name actually, it goes to what we're talking about, that you have a generation of folks who are actually, and this really wasn't just black generation, why, Daryl? Because of that series, people were, young people, black and white, across ethnic and racial divide, were more familiar with Jon Stewart than with Hal Jordan. I mean, this is true. So the question does beg to be answered as to if they went in that direction. But, you know, listen, we can't get a Black Panther movie made also. Anytime there's a black person, now we can get Rocky Raccoons, we can get rodents, anthropomorphical anthropomorphized rodents, but we can't get a black person. We can believe a raccoon can talk, not an African-American, though. It's insulting. Now, let me go to Comics Alliance, because they're giving more on this, and it is what it is. This is Fyodorov himself. He says, in a post to his blog, Fyodorov confirmed rumors that he had quit the Green Lantern titles before his first issues were even released, citing creative differences. Now, this is what he's quoting. There were editorial decisions about the direction of the book that conflicted with the story I was hired to tell. And I felt that it was better to let DC tell their story the way they want, he wrote. It was later confirmed independently by CBR and Bleeding Cool, Comic Book Resources and Bleeding Cool, that a large aspect of the disagreement was an editorial decision to kill off Green Lantern Jon Stewart. One of superhero comics' most prominent black characters, Jon Stewart has been beloved by DC Comics fans for many years. His commanding presence in Warner Brothers Animation's Justice League and Justice League Unlimited endeared Stewart to generations of viewers, and Stewart has played a major role in DC's Green Lantern mythology since the franchise was revitalized in 2005. As such, news that Stewart might die struck a decidedly negative chord with GL fans last week, partly because of the typically bombastic nature of superhero death storylines in recent years, but mostly because of the timing. The American comics industry has found itself participating in an increasingly robust discussion about diversity and representation of minorities, both on and off the page, a conversation that Jon Stewart is necessarily a part of. I don't know. Well, guess what? Phil Lamarr. You know Phil Lamarr. Now, he's jumped in this now.
I'm glad you bring up the Phil Lamarr one, because Phil Lamarr, I love this comment.
Well, Phil Lamarr, of course, is a grand talent. We all know him from Mad TV. So he's not only a vocal talent, but he can do it all. He says, one unhappy fan was Phil Lamarr, the actor who performed Jon Stewart's voice in the Justice League cartoons. He told Robot 6, black characters have such a history of being treated shabbily that my first thought was, watch. Jon will be the one guy who stays dead, Lamarr continued. Obviously, I have a strong affinity for the character of Jon Stewart, and I think what Dwayne McDuffie, Bruce Timm, and all the other writers on JL and JLU did with the character was a primer on how to remake a minor character into a major hero. I would hate to see their work, as well as that of Jon Stewart creator Denny O'Neill and Neil Adams, be tossed aside for a one-month sales bump. Well, see?
Isn't that what essentially happened? Or it was their plan? It wasn't that their plan? We got to boost sales. Never mind that I can argue that the Green Lantern books are even more cohesive than the Batman books right now. All right? I can make that argument. They're more cohesive. But they saw the feel the need. You know what? We need to shine attention on Green Lantern again. So you know what? Let's kill Jon Stewart. Are they nuts?
Well, I think so. I think so. Listen, let's go to a quick groove. And actually, it's yet more controversy. This must be the controversy show. More controversy, Daryl, with actually number 5 of Uncanny Avengers.
Yeah, Marvel, you thought I was going to let you off the hook? Good luck with this one. Thank you, David Brothers.
Oh, man, that's funny.
This deal with Identity Politics, we don't want to be called mutants anymore. I don't know. Well, it has a lot of implications. Real world and fantasy. Real world and fantasy. All right, quick groove. This is, okay, Saturday morning cartoons, some more grooves beyond what I normally play. Eep, op, orc. For you Jetsons fans, let me repeat that. Eep, op, orc, by the Violent Femmes. Saturday Morning Cartoons Redux. Let's groove.
Eep, op, orc, orc, ah. Eep, op, orc, orc.
Listen, for those who have a fondness for the Jetsons, the 60s Jetsons, that was Eep, Op, Ork, Ah-Ah, pretty well-known ditty from that series. And this was that was redone by the Violent Femmes, and it sounds suspiciously like Bedrock Twist Twist, I'm just saying. It sounds a lot like that other song also. There were some cool grooves for some of the 60s animation works. All right, folks, again. The Comic Shop, Saturday, Grindhouse Edition. I want to move on with another issue, actually, another controversial issue coming from the Avengers. Actually, it's a Comics Alliance piece entitled Avengers Assimilate, Identity Politics and Uncanny Avengers. Avengers Assimilate. Now, this comes in after the last big event, Avengers versus X-Men. Out of that storyline, a beloved hero now has become a villain. That's Cyclops. Now, since Cyclops has become a villain, his brother, Havok, has taken his place as a, pretty much a spokesperson, a spokesman for the mutant community, as well as a leader of the Avengers. Now the Avengers have been more proactive in getting mutants to join their group. So, in part of rehabilitating the image of mutants, that's something that always has, that's always going on in comic book lore, Marvel's lore. There's always a moment where the mutants are misperceived and they have to explain themselves. And for those who are familiar with X-Men, mutants, mutation, the whole deal in Marvel Comics lore, it really is an allegory for protected groups, for ethnics, racial groups, blacks, Hispanics, Asians. It's definitely an allegory. It's been said that, it's even been said that Magneto represents the Malcolm X philosophy, and Charles Xavier, Professor X, represents Dr. King's philosophy. Anyway, in the latest issue of Uncanny Avengers, number 5, with the Havok character literally speaking to the press, he says, "We're human beings. We're no different than you except for this X gene. So maybe we should stop calling, maybe you should stop calling us mutants. Maybe you should just call me, what's his actual name? Alex. Call me Alex." Now, he makes a pretty good argument, but ironically, the fan base that just so happens to be of color, of different persuasions, they're not too kind about this. And they've taken it one step further by saying that Havok can speak this way because he looks very human-looking. Someone who looks like the Beast, someone who looks not so human-looking might not be able to get away with, "I'm not a mutant. Don't call me a mutant," when you look the way that you look. So, what are your thoughts about this? Some people are not too, they're not taking this too well.
You want to know where else I'm taking it? Alex Summers is a white male making this statement.
Oh, man.
All right? He is a white male making this statement, all right? What he has said, Professor X has done before. Jean Grey has done before. Scott Summers has done it twice before. Beast has done it before. Cable has done it before. Cannonball has done it before. This is not breaking new territory where you have a mutant on an X-Men team or a mutant. Scarlet Witch has said it before. Quicksilver has actually said the opposite. Well, I'm proud to be a mutant. Hate me if you want, you know. But he said something akin to this before in the media of the Marvel Universe. Every so often, I'm disappointed in Rick Remender for just doing this trope again. All right. Now, in terms of the argument, all right. I said this. I went over to Fourth Letter where David Brothers continued it, and if you haven't gone to fourthletter.net, all right, it's David Brothers is a black man, a black comic fan. I have stated his articles in my blog enough, all right, and he takes him and Joe Hughes started out on opposite sides of the conversation, and they sort of came to one train of thought going in, and I'll just give you my exact statement to it, all right? So, like, my reaction to this is akin to Sync, who was a young black mutant who's been forgotten in the comics, all right? A young black mutant during the Phalanx Covenant, all right? I'm standing there with arms crossed, looking at a bunch of white cops pointing guns at me, and then when Banshee comes over to recruit me, I go, boy, it took you X-Men a long time to come to the hood. I will just say this. You may not want to be called a mutant, Alex Summers, but guess what? You're a mutant. I may not want to be called the N-word, but there's idiots out there that'll call me the N-word because I look like the N-word. All right? These words don't have power. It's your actions. Meanwhile, you're the same guy that in issue one of this series sat in a room with your J.O. brother Cyclops and went, why aren't you proud to be a mutant? Why all of these things you have done have been self-destructive to our own race. Why did you take this path? You said it. So in four issues, Alex, not in privacy, in front of cameras, goes a total 180 and says this in public. I don't know, man. I don't know. Anytime you're trying to use an illusionary platform to reflect what's going on in society, and it's pure coincidence this is coming about during the whole gay marriage thing, and that's a wink, wink, nudge, nudge. I just find that you better be correct. It better fit the story. And to me, this was out of place in a storyline where you were just fighting Apocalypse. And this is out of place where where you just came off of the Phoenix essentially corrupting you guys and making you want to eat the Earth. When I say you guys, I mean mutants, of course. All right? Because the Phoenix Force didn't take a normal human there. It took mutants. So I think the public's got a right to be a little scared here.
Well, you know
I'm
what?
I'm just saying.
Let me bounce around a little bit on this because I'm looking at, again, folks, this is coming from the ComicsAlliance.com piece. For those who might be joining us towards the tail end of the show, again, we have Afternoon featuring Kathy Kirk coming up in about 7 minutes. You have this character from the X-Men mythos. And as I said, the X-Men is an allegory for race relations in an essence. I mean, it definitely is. And he's saying that, well, you know, stop calling me a mutant, stop calling me black. You could say that. I'm a human being first. Now, is another way of looking at this, Darryl. If we're going to make comic books somewhat analogous to real life, there are going to be people with different viewpoints and different opinions. So maybe it acts. You can say this. I'm just putting it out there. Maybe it adds more texture to having different arguments, even in a fantasy, that, well, I choose to look at myself this way. It's, in real life, you have conservatives, you have independents, you have Democrats, you have people who have different viewpoints, they just look at things differently.
A black conservative could have, a black conservative, and we're going to talk about this in the next show, incidentally, Dr. Ben Carson, noted surgeon, is almost like the Alex Summers of real life. He's coming out almost with the same argument. So if you see this in real life with individuals with this philosophy, you might have to have someone who thinks this way just to add greater texture, even in a fantasy. Now, let me bounce around real quick on this Cometry Lions piece because he says some pretty interesting things while we have a little bit of time left. It says here, Uncanny Avengers number 5, this is the book where Havoc makes that speech, features the formal unveiling of the Avengers Unity Team, the public name of the book's Avengers X-Men mashup roster. As part of the big reveal to the press, team leader Havoc gave a little speech, and in that little speech, he shredded the central thesis of minority identity politics, and that is a problem. So this is what the article says. It also says, even there is an implication in Havoc's speech that mutant is a slur, the M word, which whether the writer intended for it to or not, very obviously draws parallels to the N word, but it's the word mutants use to describe themselves. It can be used pejoratively, as can gay, girl, black, Jew, but it's still the definitive linguistic presentation of a minority identity. So, you know, and then when I read the commenters, you have a gentleman that was of Arabic descent. He said, you know, hey, I'm a Muslim. I live this life. So, I mean, a lot of people are looking at this beyond mutant, which I guess is the intent. Catherine, what are your thoughts?
Cap?
Right here. This is what I think. I think what they started out doing was they wanted to show the character from their writing standpoint going through changes. And they started out very well. That was very good. And they're also trying to reflect and show the sign of the times, what's happening at the sign of the times. But then, as we see this happen very often these days, I think they got a little lazy, and then they fell into the same tropes. Because now, let's just say hypothetically, you wipe out the term mutants altogether. Let's say you just wipe it all out. And they're called just their names or what have you, or something else. I think it kind of weakens the mythos of the whole mutants to a certain extent. I wouldn't really like it at that given point. You know, so I just think that's just what happened there. I think they just said, okay, well, that was good. How do we tie it up? Let's go into this. Let's fall into the same trope, the same thing we did over and over and over again. And we see this time and time again in different books, different storylines and everything else. They just don't know how to tie it up. And then the reaction comes back via the net. Years ago, you didn't have the reaction via the net, what's happening on the internet. So they could just do whatever they wanted. Even though they still go to do whatever they want, but they do get the reaction. And then a lot of times from the reaction, they pull back from it. That's just my point.
Well, and here's the thing that torpedoes this right in the face on the side. Hell, the Avengers have had the Scarlet Witch, Quicksilver, Beast, Firestar, Justice. You know, they've had mutants well in the public eye, mutants who've helped save the world. Okay, my problem is you felt the need to do this speech again. You did not need to do this speech again. You really didn't, because it comes across as heavy-handed pandering. Yes, heavy-handed pandering. If the public is stupid enough to still hate you after you've saved the world umpteen times, hate a whole race of beings like this, then you know what I do? I get the ugliest, most deformed mutant to be on my team and make this speech. You don't get the fair-haired white boy. Why? Because this will have the reversed effect. If I look at it and think, well, people will start looking around, similar to Captain America when a Skrull took his place during the early run of the Mark Waid series, or during the squirrel invasion, where you're looking around at everybody around you. Could he be a mutant? Could you be a mutant? If that white, if that fair-haired white boy was a mutant, anybody around me could be a mutant. Because that's how the public thinks.
Well, listen, we got about a couple of minutes, unfortunately. We're going to have to end up closing the shop. One thing I thought about when you said about mutants having saved the world, just as is life, Daryl, someone's going to say that there's also been mutant megalomaniacs that have also tried to destroy the world, too.
Exactly. For every culture.
Hold on. For every Dr. Ben Carson, for every Daryl B., Captain Kirk, and Afro Nerd, there's a lower-tier Negro that's going to mess it up. That's the balance of life.
That's
the issue here, is that there will be hatred towards mutants because of them perceived as a tribe, and because you have, just as you have someone who is kind and does the right thing, you have somebody's going to, it's the Chris Rock routine, isn't it?
Yeah, and let's face it, some people don't deserve to be saved. I said that too. Some people just simply don't deserve to be saved.
That is a nerd mantra, young man. All right, listen, we got to go to another groove, another show next door. Daryl, as always, we appreciate the support.
Enjoy your Easter, everybody.
After video up next.
Spot for the beard?
I think not.
Black people say that so-and-so set us two steps back. Now, just to see how far back black people are right now, we got a chart provided by the American Black Progress Association. Now, let's check out the chart. Now, you also hear black people say that we're almost there. Well, as of today, there is 3,653 steps away. Now, every time we've made strides, we've been upset by missteps. You know, in 1960, SNCC and CORE stayed sit-ins. It's a great time for black people. You know, putting us ahead four steps. One, two, three, four. But in 1988, the Crips and Bloods stayed shootout, putting black people six steps back and 6 feet under. Hey, now what happened? Roots comes on, gives black people a sense of pride. 5 steps forward. And Roots begins a trend of names, of African names, beginning with Kizzy and Kuta, and ending with Sucretia, Beyonce. 11 steps back. 11 steps back. Beyonce, come on. What else happened? Mae Jameson, the first black woman to go out of space, blasts us 15 steps ahead. Well, then Little Kim, the first black woman with a kitty out, let us love it. 42
steps back. Dearly beloved, we are gathered here today to get through this thing called life. Electric word, life, it means forever, and that's a mighty long time. But I'm here to tell you, there's something else.
Hawk, who goes yonder?
It is I, sire, Richard of Nottingham.
Well, speak up, man, what is it?
News from the east, sire. Rick the Ruler has returned.
It's abracadabra, a la baby professor. All hail funkin' lesson. Sweet tongue, grand writer of scrolls. Now behold, let the legend unfold. Born in a cosmos where no time and space do exist. Vibe in the midst of the chaos. Mortals label me as a locker.
You're traveling to another radio show. A broadcast not only of sight and sound, but of mind. A journey into a wondrous land whose boundaries are that of the imagination. That's the on-air sign up ahead. Your next stop, Afro Nerd Radio, with your guide, Deepak, a.k.a. Afro Nerd.
Yes, yes, yes. Folks, welcome once again. Afro Nerd featuring Captain Kirk, Saturday, the Grindhouse Edition, Part 2. Listen up. FYI, hopefully after coming back off the heels of the great Maceo Parker interview, it looks like we might have the beauteous, and I do mean beauteous because back in the day, Rolanda Watts may pop through Afro Nerd Studio. She wants to discuss diversity with black magazines. Should black magazines make an effort to have white folks on the cover of them? That might be of interest, might be something worthy of discussion. So we're working on scheduling something with Ms. Rolanda Watts. Stay tuned for that. And, of course, we have a show to get to. We have a show to get through. Let's give you a quick groove, calm you down before we heat you back up. This is Pop Stopper, Georgia Ann Muldrow and Dudley Perkins. New funk. Let's groove, folks. We'll be right back.
Don't you ever think you're alone?
Loneliness can grow into something that you can't control.
For the day that they blow up and go pop. But I'm here to tell y'all, me and Jar Jar's here to make it stop. It stinks, and now the world can smell y'all. Ooh, my mama told me one day that I'ma go fall. Little did she know how far, farther than a man can go by car, farther than a rocket ship to the planet Mars, universally traveling. We got the devil system unraveling as we dabble in the funk. Wonder friends connect, some other ship all hands on deck. Get them battle stations ready, aim always steady, spreading suckers like confetti, originating with this here, you can feel it in the air, something big is coming this year, bigger than the biggest building that you can see, that's how we function and that's how we be, that's Funk Mama Miss One, mastermind on production, serving serious sound sessions, to all you bass heads, it's time to break bread, and give a slice to the needy, no need to be greedy, go ahead.
Understand the brand is mine.
Now all things intertwine.
Now I am one with
on occasion, folks, like a pot of greens, I like to let it simmer. I like to let it groove. Again, Georgia Ann Muldrow. Georgia Ann Muldrow, pop stopper. Folks, this is AfroNerd. It is the Grindhouse Edition Part 2. And next up, of course, there is the captain. Captain Kirk, it's your time. Let's get to it.
Space, the final frontier. These are the voyages of the Starship Enterprise. Its continuing mission, to explore strange new worlds, to seek out new life and new civilizations, to boldly go where no one has gone before.
Got whipped by Rod Redding, huh? By Rob Redding.
Yep. Yep. Love it. Listen, this is the deal, Captain. Folks, for those who've been listening to our show for some time, I give shout outs to Mr. Rob Redding, who I found out recently is actually related to Otis Redding. So he should tout that a bit more. But anyway, usually he respects me. But I saw the whip coming at some point because I saw it. So, and he was saying, I'm going to whip you. This is what happens when you have a difference of opinion, folks, and I know this. When you have a difference of opinion, it's just not allowed in the black community. It just isn't. You got to go along to get along for some reason. And I listened to his show because it was different. I still didn't go with everything he was talking about, but at least it was different. It wasn't the same old Steve Harvey chicanery. It wasn't the same typical urban radio type affair, but he still talked about victimization and that kind of thing. And that's what urban radio was rife with, Captain. You know that. I don't do the victimization thing too well. So at some point, I'm going to say something that's probably going to make him think that I'm insane. And that's exactly what happened. So, folks, check this out. I allegedly get my comeuppance. Oh, you know what? Let me give a more backstory, because I did hint at this last week. What happened was the week before this clip that I isolated, the week before, there was a discussion on stop and frisk. I support stop and frisk. And actually, there are more black folks, especially black mothers, who have lost multiple children. Now, they're saying that coming out of the political correctness fog, Captain, they're coming out of the PC fog, and they say, you know what? If they had this at some point in the, earlier, my son or daughter might still be alive. I'm seeing this now. I am seeing this. So, I talked about stop and frisk on his show, and I also talked about the babies that are dying. Now, I'm not talking about babies as a euphemism, Captain. We're talking about literal infants that are dying in many of these urban centers. When babies are dying, when young women are dying, when the elderly are dying, all gloves, logically, should be off. And when you colorize the situation, we don't seem to care that much. We don't seem to care that much. Let's call it like it is. So when I got into my whole shtick, even though it's not really a shtick, about, hey, we might have to look toward martial law. Because the fantasy, Captain, that the black man are going to that we're going to come in, black men are going to come in on their white horses and talk to Shaquan and Raekwon and Lakeisha to knock off the nonsense, that day has yet to arrive, ladies and gentlemen. It hasn't happened. We want it to happen. We want it to happen. We're supposed to go in, calm things down, take care of these children. These communities are, by and large, fatherless, Captain. So we have the gangbangers. We have the loose criminals that are killing boys and girls and infants in triple-digit numbers, especially in Chicago. So if they're talking about these kind of incidents, likening them to Beirut, they actually talked about Chicago, shouting out Sergio, as certain parts of Chicago are reminiscent of 70s Beirut. If that's the case, we are more than welcome to send armies half a world away to tune up other folks of color when we perceive them to be a threat. And we're also more than welcome to send over drones. So the implication that we could militarize some of these inner city communities because we're not coming in on white horses, that's not happening as of yet. I don't see that happening. I want the babies to continue to live. I want them to have a chance. So you might have to have an extreme idea out there to save lives. So when I spoke this way, you're crazy. You're droning black people. You want to drone black people. Don't want to drone black people, but I'm in support of droning some gangbangers, yes. It's already a militarized situation, Captain. It's already going down like that. We're just going to allow more babies to get shot in the head? We're just going to roll with that? All right. So, I was supposed to have gotten whipped for what I just spoke about last week. So, to save face to his audience, because his audience said, hey, that Afriner dude, why didn't you whip him? He's listening by his phone. He's a supporter. You know, maybe I should have whipped him. So to save face, he had to whip me. Let's go. And whipping is a shtick that he does when you say something that he deems to be out of pocket. So this is Afriner getting whipped. Now, also before I go to this clip, Captain, you know I'm quite quick-witted. I was going to go into a place and deride him when he said, you know I'm going to whip you. I was going to say, hey, I'm not into homoeroticism, Rob. I was going to say that.
Boy.
But I had to kind of pull it back. Not my lifestyle choice, Rob. Do what you want to do. It's not my thing. But I wanted to respect him. He's not as quick-witted as I am. So I laid back in the cut and let it happen. I let it happen. I was going to say, hey, Rob, guess what? I'm a free-thinking black man. I'm not a slave. Slaves, you know, I'm not a slave, so if you're going to whip someone, whip a slave, not the Afro nerd. I was going to go somewhere with it, but I said, let him do it. I'll explain it on my show. This is Afro nerd getting whipped. Hold on.
5-5-7-6-2-30-80. Afro nerd in New York. You still have people talking from the last time you called in.
I'm sorry, I didn't quite hear that. What happened, Rob?
I said you still have people talking from the last time you called in.
Oh, I wouldn't be surprised. I'm comfortable with that.
You're comfortable with droning black Americans. That's a whole nother...
That's not exactly where I was getting at.
It's not. That's basically what you said.
Well, what I'm saying, I could go into it.
Let's not go
briefly.
Back. No, because I'd whip you. Go ahead.
Okay, listen.
I might whip you before it's over, but I mean, if we go back to that, you're definitely going to get whipped. But go ahead.
Okay. All right. Listen, I'm not comfortable with Robert Zimmerman's tweet. Obviously, I'm not comfortable with it. And I think what my problem is, it kind of references the last conversation, but it's different. Is that we have a problem? Well, I should say the problem is with discernment. What he says. It's like what Donald Trump said months ago. The blacks like me, as if the blacks are the Yankees. You know, that is what's problematic. And unfortunately, there are some black people that also ride the tribalism, that we're all the same, and we brother this, brother that, sister this, sister that. I stopped doing that. I would love to do that. I would love to be able to do that. When I was a kid, I did that. Now I'm not comfortable in doing that. There are Pew Research polls now, within the last couple of years, that talk about this diversity with black people, that we, that the black middle class and the black underclass look at things differently, that that we almost look at ourselves, and this is true, we almost look at ourselves as different races within the black race. So when Robert Zimmerman says what he says and says black teens, he's comfortable with just saying, well, this is just black people. He doesn't know about discernment. But then black folks also aren't comfortable with discernment either. That's what I don't understand. Why can't we, I say terms like lower-tier blacks, lower-tier whites, upper-tier blacks. There's Afro-Latins. There's Africans.
Wait a minute. Let me ask you. Hold on a second. Let me ask Scott this question. Are you a lower-tier white? He says, I hope not. Stop, Scott. So why would you not want to be a lower tier white? You don't want to feel like you're on a lower tier than anybody. Okay. So he says, yeah, and you say he knows about that. So your point is, your greater point is?
Well, my point is this, is that we need to be pushing, if we're going to be tribal, we have to start to push the idea that there's different types of black people and that we can't ride with everything everyone does. You can't be
I don't think blacks want to be tribal. And what's more, what he is saying is blacks. He's not saying lower-tier blacks. He's not saying middle-class blacks. He's saying blacks might be risky, end of quote.
That's the problem. The problem is that he's not sophisticated.
The problem is that he actually lumps you in with blacks that might be risky. You want him to be sophisticated enough to say that I just don't like lower tier blacks.
Yeah, if you want to be honest about it. I mean,
my God, man, you have the most warped thinking Afro nerd.
Really?
The more and more I talk to you, yes. The more and more I talk to you, look. What am I supposed to listen to now? Okay, I'll listen. Go ahead.
Political correctness.
Your whip is coming. You know that.
Political correctness.
Yes.
Is killing black folk. You can pull out the whip if you like.
You know what? You know what's killing black folk? Afro.
Yeah, I do know.
Yeah. What's killing black folk is the I got mine, you get yours. Let's drone them. There is a lower class. There is a middle class. There is a difference between. We're all in the outhouse, man. Every single one of us. Whip him. Get him.
Oh, man.
Afro nerd, I gotta whip you. Whip him. I didn't say stop. Whip him. Get him. Keep going. All right, back with more in moments.
Folks,
well, hey, go ahead.
Certainly.
He didn't seem as angry with you as this time. You know, this time. Other times, you see, he was a lot more fiery, so to speak. He was more in a comedic type mindset this time around. Should I say he's getting used to you? That's really what it is. He's gotten used to you over a period of time. His mindset is definitely different. That's all.
Yeah, well, you know, the deal, Captain, is that, you know, babies dying isn't worthy of a stand-up routine, though, is it?
No.
You know, and when he says, you know, he thinks lower tier is an oddity, the term lower tier, if we started identifying the problem, maybe we could start getting some correction. I see someone in the chat room had a problem with me using the term lower tier. I'm sorry. I have no problems with lower tier. That's what it is. That's who they are. I'm not going to, and I would think that our audience would not want to be likened to gangbangers and all these wild folks that are killing people without a thought. Do you want, when we cannot afford to be all in the same. And when he said, oh, you know, black, I don't think blacks want to be tribal. Oh, sure they do. Sure they do. Come on. What do you think that treatment that took place during the first election with Obama was all about? Well, we got to make sure he's the right kind of black person. He may not be authentic. What do you think
Absolutely.
That's all about?
Yeah.
And the fact that we still do that. But see, his show is about shtick. God bless Mr. Redding. It's about shtick. But it's not really about real analysis. It's about whipping folks. And like I said, I could have cut him and said, hey, I'm not really down with the homoeroticism, Rob. Not down with it. But you know what? I said, let me fall back. Let me just let this happen. Let him have his fun. But it's very easy to be dismissive of people. When you use an antic like the whip, it's a way to say, well, you know, your philosophy is not to be desired, so I have to dismiss you. But babies will continue to still die. Young women will continue to still die. And we will still pull out the whip and do the yuck, 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 yuck. Yuck, 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 yuck. We'll still do that, and the blood will continue to still run in the streets. And like I said, the drones are already here, first of all. I have another clip that talks about this. Maybe we'll get to it if we have enough time. But the Young Turks, courtesy of YouTube, go into this whole thing. When the Chris Dorner thing went down, ladies and gentlemen, the rogue police officer from a few weeks ago or a month and a half ago, whatever, when that went down, drone talk went on. And they said, hey, they have drones in different sizes. They have drones the size of insects, Captain.
Yes.
So is it beyond the realm to use drones in a sophisticated way to root out the criminality in urban centers to prevent further death? What makes black folks any better, any less worthy of being quote-unquote drone than the Browns in the Middle East? You know, I mean, I don't want black folks. And first of all, like I said, it's not the totality of black people. But in order to save lives, if we have black folks that are under siege, Captain, in warlike conditions, triple-digit death by youths as collateral damage, and the black man with the white hat on the white horse has yet to arrive. So what do? We still see black mothers crying, or do we intervene because it is necessary? I'm just putting it out there. That's all.
We have a caller.
All right. Let's go to the call. After the call, we'll go to a quick groove. Let's open up the lines. Caller, welcome to AfroNerd. Tell us who you are and where you're calling from. 484. What's up?
Hey, Captain and D-Bird. This is Q-Storm. How you doing?
Hey.
Q, what's up?
Just want to say, before I say my piece, which is going to be very quick, I just want to say I've been listening for the past few months, and the shows have been on fire. You've been really doing your thing lately.
Thank you, man.
What I want to say was, I listened to that Rob Redding clip, and I got really, really disturbed by that. I mean, basically, his shtick, this whipping thing, which I'm just now hearing, he repeats the sound effect of a person being whipped, and he shouts with glee, whip, whip him, whip him, whip him. What, I'm going to keep it clean. What the hell kind of message is that sending out? And he wants to rail against lower, your use of the term lower tier? What message is that sending out? That whole diatribe, that whole shtick. What is that? I have a problem with that. And that's all I wanted to say.
Well, hold on for a second.
Whipping of the black man.
Well, listen, he has been called out on that before. He has been called out on that before, and of course he has an excuse. It's like Rick Ross has an excuse. We're talking about his fat ass, too. When we have people, see, this is a different show, as you know. We have people who defend the indefensible all the time. Rick Ross is defending the indefensible. Lil Wayne will defend the indefensible. So all I'm just saying, listen, I want black death to discontinue. That's all I want. I don't want black babies to be babies of any hue. But especially black babies dying the way that they're dying. And what are we doing? I'm just thinking logically. We're always saying we gotta bring black men back into the neighborhoods. They gotta come back. They have to raise these children. It hasn't happened yet.
And Rob Redding with that shtick, all he's doing is further fomenting the whole notion of black oppression of other black people. It's unbelievable to me.
Well, you know, listen, it's radio shtick. And we try not to do the radio shtick. We do – what I say on the street is what I will say on the air. I'm not going to give you a twisted answer. But, hey, that's part of the radio game as well. The radio game is not to really allow the caller, you know, to heat things up. I know what the radio game is supposed to be. I don't want to play that game. I want to be honest and give you an honest thought, maybe a provocative thought. I'm not saying we should indiscriminately drone people. All I'm saying is if you have black folks caught up in warlike conditions, not unlike the warlike conditions in the Middle East, why are Middle Easterns worthy of droning and not inner-city black populations where the violence has to be put under control? He says, there can be collateral damage. There's already collateral damage. That's why this is the logic. I mean, in another call before this, he said there could be collateral damage. Drones cause collateral damage. What do you think the gangbangers are doing? Are they serving pumpkin pie? Or, pardon me, sweet potato pie? Got to be correct there. Are they serving sweet potato pie? It's not going down like that. Babies are getting shot in the head, and it's just another day. I want it to stop. So if we have to have stop and frisk to save blacks, then so be it. Because the mothers, the black and brown mothers, are saying, you know what? We may have to get that grimy in order for the nonsense to stop. That's all I'm saying. But on a show like that, you get whipped, you get dismissed. Lower tier, what's that? We're calling each other niggas. We're calling each other niggas. But lower tier, you're offended by. Let's go to a groove, gentlemen. it's getting hot in here all of a sudden. It's getting hot in here. They don't want to give me a check, ladies and gentlemen. They don't want to do it. Because it'll be too real. I'm not going to let black folks off the hook. I'm not going to let white folks off the hook. I'm going to give you your props when you deserve it, but I'm also not going to be politically correct or have faux pride, because all it is, Q, it's pride. We're too prideful to admit that some of us are effing up to the chagrin of the gang. Now, we have a man that's talking about date rape, and it's going to be another day. It's going to be another day. But, hey, whip me. With me, if you will. Q, as always, man, continue supporting. And we may take you up on your offer. Don't think I'm not listening. We're just trying to weigh the options here.
I hear you.
Let's go to a groove. Continue listening. We appreciate it. Hold on. Oh, you know what, Q?
Yeah. Yeah.
Hold on for the next segment, man. Hold on for the next segment.
Okay.
Hold on. If you can, hold on.
All right.
excuse me there. Let's go to NDRE. Talk about the controversies, boys. NDRE has a new jam, Cocoa Butter. This is the light skin remix. There's an inside joke on that. NDRE, Cocoa Butter. Let's groove.
Yeah. Your love is like so long the side.
India Arie, folks, India Arie, a new groove from an upcoming album. This is called Cocoa Butter. The reason why I said the light-skinned remix is because there appears to be a little bit of a controversy with her album cover, with her looking about five shades lighter than her natural complexion. And she's saying, hey, it was lighting. It's not what you think. There's no Nat and Nola involved. There's no plastic surgery that's taking place. But people are going crazy because this woman represented Afrocentrism to a high degree in her appearance as well as in her work. So now we see her discernibly lighter complected than her earlier work. So it looks a little shady. It looks a little disingenuous. I don't know what to think. I hope it hasn't gotten that bad where you have to make these alterations to sell an album. But I don't know. I don't know. I know what I'm looking at. It looks a little disturbing. You know, Sammy Sosa pulled this off, and he wants you to say, hey, it's not what you think. Michael Jackson did it for 20 years. It's not what you think. I got vitiligo. You know, I mean, come on. I don't know. I still respect her talent. She'll get burned on AfroNerd. She'll get burned here. But you're talking that Afrocentric jazz, and now you're coming up with some Eurocentric jazz. Looks a little shady, but hey, whip me. Can't tell the truth, Captain. You know, referencing the great Tony Starks, Mr. Starks, he says, the truth is unattractive, quote unquote. That's his patent on that term. The truth is unattractive. If a doctor tells you, sir, I'm afraid you have cancer, we're going to have to operate, I don't think you're going to actually love the guy. No one ever likes the truth. It never goes down smooth. But if I lie to you, you know, give you cakes and candy, you'll love me. That's the way life is, I guess. All right. You know, I spoke about, and I have Q, our friend and stalwart listener. I was referencing the deal with Rick Ross, and now there's yet another controversy, shocker, that 2 weeks ago you had Lil Wayne defecating on the image of Emmett Till, and now you know one of his colleagues is defecating on women, saying, "Hey, pop a Molly, put her in a drink, have some fun afterwards." You know, he inferenced a rape scene. He inferenced a rape scene. I didn't have enough time or desire to record his response. He's on some radio show, and he says, we don't use the term rape. Our lovely ladies are sexy ladies. It's not as fool talks. Sexy ladies, we respect the ladies. We would never say, the rap community would never use the term rape. We don't believe in that. It's a bunch of junk. It's bunk. You may not use the term rape, but to put a drug in a woman's drink and then to sleep with her without her knowledge, that sounds a little rapey to me. Sounds a little rapey. Well, he didn't say it. That is the level of disrespect that is floating around here, ladies and gentlemen, and we do nothing. Where's that whip? Where is it now? Q, what are your thoughts on this? We talk about this all the time. You know, you can't – we've never been successful – in telling a pornographer to stop selling us sex. Hasn't happened yet. These are sonic pornographers. Can't do it. When I suggest, hey, guess what? There's urban alternative. There's women out here that actually have talent, that actually sing without blunts in their mouths and in bikinis on the beach. They actually can do it. Why don't you promote these people? No, we gotta tell Rihanna to stop doing that. We got to tell Lil Wayne to stop doing that. Okay. Good luck with that. Q, your thoughts?
Well, you know, I didn't know anything about the Rick Ross controversy. I'm still reeling from
the Lil Wayne thing
that I first heard on your show, just to give you a little plug there. But I thought that was bad. I mean, I think it's unconscionable. And I just wish people would wake up and, you know, realize that these are the people that I think our young folks are holding up as heroes, but it's because they see them as, you know, being in a certain social situation, socioeconomic situation, and they use their lyrics to, quote-unquote, rise above that. They're making money, popping bottles, this and that, driving with the 20-inch rims, and that is what they hold up as role models that, you know, that they can make their lives better. They listen to these people. They hold them up as role models because they have, quote-unquote, succeeded. Meanwhile, you know, probably in the next 10 years, Rick Ross will never be heard of. He'll be broke.
Or dead. I hate to say that. He's been dodging some bullets, literally.
You know what is, Captain and D-Bert? We desperately need more heroes in our community. That's what it comes down to me. We need additional, as you say, we need additional lanes. We need more heroes that our children can look up to. That's what we need.
Well, you know something? In the next segment, we're going to talk about this gentleman, this 17-year-old young man. He's not a man of color, but it's irrelevant at this point. We're going to highlight, that's another thing, too, that when we get Ms. Watts on air, this whole notion of diversity, it really is diversity of thought within black people. And I mentioned this young man from England, actually, who was able to get $30 million windfall, Hugh. $30 million from the folks at Yahoo because he developed a new app. Now, it's not only a new app, but it's a news, N-E-W-S, a news application that Yahoo purchased from him. And not only did they purchase it from him, they gave him $30 million in cash and in stock, but they also gave him a job at Yahoo at 17. Now, What I told the captain when I heard about this, because I think it's a great story, but it also goes back to my logic frontal lobe center. What I say is, why are Negroes still sweating on basketball courts? Why? Why are you still sweating on football fields? Why? I love sports like everything else. Don't get it twisted. But, you know, even to the point, why are we still on stage sweating? Why? A 70-year-old kid can create an app and shut it down with a $30 million payday. These stories need to be infiltrated in the quote-unquote hood, although I prefer the word neighborhood. They need to be put into the hood to tell folks, you know what, we're looking real dated and somewhat stupid. It doesn't make any sense. This is a new world order. You can come up with an idea. Zuckerberg, who I've referenced many times, created a web page that's essentially a mirror. It's a mirror. Facebook. It's not that. It's really not all that. It's very simple. If you look at it, it's the most simple web page I've ever seen. But somehow, he convinced people to make him a billionaire many times over. So when I see this, why aren't we pushing our children in that direction, as opposed to continue to push them towards rapping and bouncing basketballs and throwing football? It looks mighty dumb. Or am I? Do I have to be whipped? Am I saying something wrong? I mean, I don't hear this kind of conversation, gentlemen. I don't hear it like this. I'm not a genius. I don't hear this on urban radio. Why aren't we pushing our children towards things that look a little bit? People are getting paid without sweating. I don't like to sweat. The captain knows this when I go to the gym. I don't like to sweat.
Well, I'll explain to you why. I've mentioned this before on the show. You go back into the archive. For those people that just think I might be pulling this out of the air, I'll send you where to look. All right? We have things known as the Tavistock Studies over there in England. What they realized, human behavior follows the flow of electricity. What does electricity like to do? Electricity likes to flow to the easiest path of resistance, and it also likes to flow to the ground. So human behavior goes the flow of electricity. You look for the easiest path of resistance. That's number one. The ironic thing also, too, if you look at neighborhoods from outer space, They look like a circuit board. Hint, hint, hint. Now, this is all scientifically proven now. The next thing also with human behavior, what do? You gravitate towards what is familiar automatically. When an immigrant comes into this country, let's say you're a Latin from Latin descent, immigrant, you come into the country, you look automatically for your Latin people. Those people who are immigrants who do not speak the language, who decide to go through what is uncomfortable and submerge themselves in the American culture, learn English very fast. You develop the means very quickly. This is a scientific fact. But again, what most people like to do, they gravitate towards what is familiar. That's what they do. Now, if we look at black people, what is familiar? What is familiar? Running, jumping, singing. That's why we get caught into the loop, and we have the science behind it. And this is the reality of it. Now, what is even crazier and what might be mind-boggling to the wage slave? Certain means, we talk about this a lot on this show, what means are ideas. Ideas will move through certain neighborhoods. Remember I just told you, from outer space, neighborhoods look like a circuit board. So within certain neighborhoods, you will have a certain ideology. This is why you do not see a lot of prominent people a lot of times coming from what we call the lower tier areas. Where do they go? If you look to see who's in prison and you backtrack, they come from normally the same areas. Mean transference. So what you have happening right now in the black community, there is no point of reference to do what this young man is doing. They just don't have it. You automatically, the human genome works against itself, and that's based on the science. And this is the reality. This is the truth. This is why it doesn't happen more. This is why you see us running and jumping. Well, number one, we do it naturally very well. We do these things very well. And that's the truth to be told, and you can make a lot of money with that. But not everyone's going to be running and jumping to be able to make money. More of us could be doing this type of thing. But there's no point of reference. You cannot go across the person in the street, across the street and say, okay, this person here just made $2 million on this idea. I can go to this person over here. He just made $1 million. There's no point of reference. And you automatically gravitate towards what is familiar. And then you also, your mindset works the flow of electricity. That's why you see a lot of people, they always start and stop things because it's very difficult. They're always looking for the easiest way to go. They don't realize why they're doing it. You know, they start something and they go, oh, man, it's a little too difficult. Let me try it. Let me start. So they spend most of their life starting and stopping and never accomplishing anything. Flow of electricity. So this is what you have happening in the black community. This is why they still sweating. And that's the science behind it, and you could go look it up. I'm not pulling it out of thin air. Now, there's always exceptions to the rule. You will have somebody who comes from the lower tier area that will pull off something from time to time, but that is the exception. That is not the rule. You ultimately, believe it or not, you are a product of your environment, and of course your genes and your environment, and that's what will shape you and make you in who you are, because you pick up the means from that environment, which give you the point of reference in order to accomplish anything that you want to do. There you have it. Back over to you, Sir Afro Nerd.
Yeah, listen, you know, the meme has to be broken. Should I mention the term that we're working on now, Captain? I mean, I'm not going to mention, like, what we're doing, but can I mention the name of it?
It would take a generation, based on the Tavistock study. It takes a generation to break those.
I'm asking you a question. Can I mention to our audience, not what we're doing?
I wouldn't necessarily mention that as of yet.
All right. just the name, but okay. I'll when it's up, it's up.
Yeah.
We're trying, ladies and gentlemen. We're trying because we're tracking very poorly, and we can't seem to mention this. Just today, earlier today, I'm pretty sure Q is aware of this because he's in the local area, Trice area. Today it was quite pleasant as far as weather was concerned. It was warmer than usual, and when the weather starts to warm up, folks have the cars out, the windows are down, and you're hearing what you're hearing. And I'm just walking around, doing my errands before the show, and I'm hearing madness coming out of cars. And for some reason, I'm more focused on this. I've always known about it. I've always cataloged it or something, archived it in my own memories. But it is really especially bad now, folks. If you hear I can't just say young folks. I've seen grown men in these cars now. We're not talking about like your 7-year-old. I've seen 40-somethings now, too, listening to garbage. I mean, when you think about the Otis Reddings and the Stevie Wonders and all these people, that was the meme. That used to be regular music coming out of cars. And it was very positive. It was just naturally positive. Now it is hellish what we're listening to. And I'm talking about on and on and on and on. That this meme that the captain is talking about is real. And it is cultural conditioning. We are listening to failure on wax consistently. And this has to end up somewhere. You can't win the race. We're in a race, ladies and gentlemen, I'm telling you, with other people. And we are behind, and if we don't make some changes, it's just going to get worse. If possible, it's going to get worse. It's like a 25% high school graduation rate in New York, 25% high school graduation rate for black males. 25%, ladies and gentlemen.
Terrible. Big New York. You would think it would be higher. Jersey is beating us. Can you believe that?
Jersey is 70%. The Big Apple is 25%.
Well, that's why you have that whole scandal down in Atlanta. I mean, teachers are desperate to do whatever they have to do to improve their numbers.
It's crazy. Let me speak to Kavina Man for a minute in the chat room. He's talking about white supremacy as a central problem. Come on, bro. Come on. We understand what that is. We understand that on a philosophical level, but we can't always go to that as the go-to answer when Shaquan has just killed your daughter. That's not the answer. That's not the answer that the crying mother wants to get. I dare you to whisper that in her ear and say, "Hey, you know, white supremacy is really what killed your daughter." She doesn't want to hear that. We have to do better. And we can't be so prideful, ladies and gentlemen, so prideful where we can't attack the problem for what it is. Let's get back to the white supremacy issue when we can stop killing each other. Because we can't get soldiers in that movement if we're losing soldiers in this turmoil. It's not going down like that. Quickly, Captain. Let's see. There's another topic I want to touch on as well. We only got about 9 minutes. These shows are very quick. Oh, you know what? This is kind of a simple thing. But I've mentioned this to you before behind the scenes. Pedro Quezada. Pedro, okay. who was Pedro Quezada? Shouting out from the inner sanctum, Sally V. Sally V is a woman of color by way of the Dominican Republic. Pedro Quezada is one of her countrymen who recently won $338 million. Now, we've always fancied ourselves like what would happen if we won this money. I tell you this much, I would like to not have the world know about it. This young man, I would still consider him young. He's in his mid-40s. Whatever went down, from my understanding, when you win lotto, you do have the option to have some kind of representation. You don't have to put your identity out there on blast. Every day, the news is giving us more information about this person. And I'm sitting here, I'm shaking my head. Why are they doing this? How does someone not know in this day and age, in this information age, that you really should not put your winnings out there? You literally have a bullseye on your head now. They have interviewed his relatives and his friends in the Dominican Republic, showing their pictures and everything. They're interviewing nieces and aunties and everyone. Why are they doing that? Then the next day, they're talking about, well, he's not such a good guy because he owes $29,000 in back child support. So the reason why, listen, it's a man of color who won a lot of money. He has my, you know, my best wishes for him. But we've got to stop this shining, folks. Shining and blinging and just letting the world know what's going on. Quietly win your money and go in a corner somewhere. Because you see how the media are treating this. Now, it just can't be he just won the money. Now, every day, there's a new twist to this man winning this money. We've got to know everything about this man's life, and they're tearing him down, and he's going to end up losing that money in some way. I hope he doesn't. But why do we do this, Captain? Why do we do this?
It has to do with self-esteem. That's what it resonates from. It's about self-esteem. You have to show your teeth. Self-esteem is very low. It goes back to the simple thing that we've all seen. The individual living in the project, or some people like to say projects, living in the project, and he has an $80,000 car parked in front of him. And it is his car. He somehow managed to get a hold of it, you know. Maybe he worked really hard. Maybe he won some money. Whatever, you know, got a settlement, whatever the reason. But you would think the person would move out. No, he wants to show the people in the hood, quote unquote the hood, his teeth. So now I have a car with these individuals, showing it to these individuals. We've seen this all the time. The person who lives in the hood that buys the $30,000 chain after they get a little settlement or they come into some money. Happens all the time. Go back to what I said before. It is a meme. It is a meme that we seem to have. Black people, Latin people, and lower tier white people.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, I'm always on this term cognition, and I see it more and more. I think even some I forgot these young men that we see in the gym. I forgot their name, but because we always shout out everyone in the gym, Captain. But there's some young cats that come in the gym. I should say younger. We're Generation Y, they're Generation X. I perceive them to be Generation X. And they seem to be very affable, intelligent-looking young men. And I remember in the locker room, we got into this conversation of, like, intelligence. And it was one of those conversations about some blackened young man that was a ne'er-do-well, that was shady. And the young man of color that I'm referencing had said, low intelligence, just like that. I mean, I think you might have been there, because I shook his hand and said, hey, welcome to the club. I said, hey, you're speaking my language, young man. To see another black man talk about, low intelligence, you know, it is what it is. I say that in jest. But it's not looking too great for us, Captain. We can't keep on repeating this. Get off the carousel. Stop repeating the MP3 playback over and over again. I'm just tired of it. It's not looking too good, or too well, I should say. It's horrible. Why do we do this, Captain? I don't know. Listen, Q, continue the support. We got to do better. I don't know how. But I don't know how. I don't know, you know. But it's necessary. Folks, we'll be back Wednesday working on Rolanda Watts. That should be interesting. I'm going to tell her, too. I always thought she was a fine something-something when she was doing New York. Well-coiffed. Now, that is – I will use the term sister for her. She's a fine thing. I mean, you know, she's a mature woman.
So you have conditional tribalism.
If you look, if your toes are painted, Captain. Let me not go there. You know, Prince has a song called You Got the Look. I'm kind of like that. All right, listen. It's been fun. Let's go to a quick groove. Wednesday, folks. This is Prime Meridian. Prime Meridian by Tall Black Guy. Live from the belly. It's been real.
From the belly of a dirty black gutter, where the toast gets healed for the bread, no butter. Another young mother watch a song get smothered by the heavy black rain that came through the shutters. A summertime song, but it ain't for the lover, cause it's ugly in the air till your soul can't slumber. You try to go to bed, but your belly full of hunger, so you mingle in instead till the sunbeams come up. Girlies in the street ain't even ever had a mother, getting caught up by the creeps, crack cherries in the covers, and it's really sort of deep how they do you when you come up. They can put you in a tux or put you on a product. Why you writing about the pain? Real people getting done up, cause it ain't about a change. They be looking for the come up. I sort of feel ashamed when I wanna give my son up, cause the visual is vain. Why they drowning in the drama, and it's sad and it's sorry. It's long and it's life and it's hard and it's heavy and it's wrong, but it's right in your face. You can face it and fight for the stripes, so you can let it all drip. Dreams dripping from the pipeline. Live from the belly, 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 from the belly. Live, live from the belly, from the belly, from the belly, from the belly of a dirty black gutter with a toast. Get live from the belly, 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 live, live from the belly, from the belly, from the belly,
Beautiful nightmare, horrendous dream, stupendous lean, stupid with the pen is lean, student of the pen since teen. It was all a dream, then we lived it out like we on the silver screen. No silver line in the silver spoon, still in school, still on the move. Motivated, molded to make it, make it in this mold, type proto, made to mold, and then we break it. Count Drake in the cave, shameless, realize what you realize, actualization, say it, paying the price was in it, with the sacrifice, will you pay it? We all dreaming for something to believe in. Hope change, no brainer. Try to dope veins up, open the lane up. Should have been done, came up. Capitalize, big my name up.
Like live from the belly, 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 from the belly. Live, live from the belly, from the belly, from the belly, from the belly of a dirty black gutter with a toast. Get live from the belly, from the belly, from the belly, from the belly, from the belly. Live, live from the belly, from the belly, from the belly, from the belly.
Yeah, this dream is bittersweet. A nightmare on 33rd Street. Someone to pour my heart over my 333rd beat. Spin it at 33 and the third revolution's complete. Control, I'll delete. This year's beyond amazing. Dream sort of Freddy lurking in the prime with Jason. Running, congratulations, salutation. In new addition to the drive of Simeon, my heart's been patient. Began facing all my biggest fears. Creatively racing through my biggest year. But this rocket that I wept in shed his biggest tears. Today, the big display of love turned to hate. Flipped 180-degree turn in my face. Pain beyond 3rd-degree burns in my face. My relationship and my seeds boiled down in court case. Motivate me to create heat as my heartbeat fades. A sour taste from success less sweet, but it'll make me grind harder till I get fangs in my teeth. Stains on my sheets from my heart leading through my sleep. Counting money in my dreams, no longer being a sheep.
Like live from the belly, 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 from the belly. Live, live from the belly, from the belly, from the belly, from the belly, from the belly. Of a dirty black gutter with a toe. Get live from the belly, 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 from the belly. Live, live from the belly, from the belly, from the belly, from the belly of a dirty black gutter with a toe skip.